Give me a second.
Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Broward Metropolitan Planning Organization's eTown Hall event. We're just waiting for folks to join us. In the meantime, if you have a question, press the number 0 on your telephone keypad. Again, press 0 on your phone keypad, and we'll get you into the queue to ask your question as soon as possible. Again, this is the Broward Metropolitan Planning Organization's eTown Hall event, and I'd like to welcome everybody this evening. Again, if you have a question for the panel, please press the number 0 on your telephone keypad. Again, press 0 on your phone keypad, and we'll place you in the queue to ask the panelists your question. And we're just going to wait a few minutes for some additional folks to join us this evening. Okay, if you're just joining us, again, this is the Broward Metropolitan Planning Organization's eTown Hall event. And I'd like to encourage everyone joining us to press 0 on their telephone keypads so that you can be placed in line to ask the panelists questions. And again, we're going to be beginning in just a few moments here. Okay, we're going to get started. Hello again. My name is Sean Thompson. I'm the moderator this evening. And again, welcome to the Broward Metropolitan Planning Organization's eTown Hall event. Tonight's topic is the Metropolitan Transportation Plan, or MTP, and how this plan will impact the future of transportation in Broward County. The Metropolitan Transportation Plan will include funding for transportation projects in Broward, and your input will help shape what projects are selected for the plan. Tonight's eTown Hall will allow you to ask questions of our transportation experts and learn more about the Broward MPO and transportation in our region. Okay, let's meet our panelists this evening. Peter Geese is the Strategic Planning Manager for Broward MPO and is the Project Manager for the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. Chris Walton is the Director of Broward County Transit, the operator of Broward County's transit system. Erica Lychek is the Communications Principal Coordinator for the Broward MPO. Sydney Calloway is a partner at the Schutz and Bowen Law Firm and a former commissioner of the Florida Transportation Commission. Welcome to all of our panelists, and thank you for joining us this evening. Again, if you'd like to ask a question and you're just joining us, please press 0 on your telephone keypad, and we'll get you into the queue to ask your questions as soon as possible. Again, press the number 0 on your telephone keypad. And before we get started, we just have some general questions to help familiarize the audience with some of the organizations that and the plans that we're going to be discussing tonight. So our first question is, who is the MPO?
Hi, this is Peter Geese with the Broward Metropolitan Planning Organization, or the MPO, and thank you, Sean, for inviting everyone onto this town hall. On behalf of all the panelists, I would like to thank everyone for joining and welcome you. The Broward Metropolitan Planning Organization is a transportation decision-making entity. We are federally chartered, and we are funded through federal tax dollars. So when all of you go to the gas pump and pump gas for your vehicles, a portion of that money goes back to Washington and is apportioned back down to us to spend on regional transportation projects here in Broward County. We are represented by a 37-member board that make up members of all 31 municipalities, Broward County government, and the South Florida Regional Transportation Authority, who operates Tri-Rail.
Okay. Thank you very much. Peter, we have another question for you as well. What is the MTP?
It's a great question, especially since we're here to talk about the Metropolitan Transportation Plan, or MTP, tonight. The Metropolitan Transportation Plan is really our roadmap for transportation now and into the future. It's going to identify projects that we want to program over the next 5 to 25 years here in Broward County, so hence the Commitment 2045 tagline for the Metropolitan Transportation Plan shows how we are trying to plan projects over the next two decades here in Broward, and it ultimately will culminate in a list of projects, which again becomes our investment plan. And for example, projects in the past in Metropolitan Transportation Plans, such as 595, were identified decades ago and ultimately programmed for funding and constructed. Most recently, we've been making investments in our roadway system and also planning sidewalks and bicycle lanes to the tune of about 100 miles and about $300 million, and also programming funds for improved transit in the region, helping out our partners at Broward County Transit and the South Florida Regional Transportation Authority. This, again, was all as a result of past Metropolitan Transportation Plans, and this cycle, which is updated every 5 years, is beginning now, and we are looking for input from all of you to help make Broward County a better place to get around and to live and to play as well.
Okay, thank you very much, Peter. Okay, we're going to move to our first question this evening. Our first question comes to us from Barbara in Sunrise, and Barbara would like to know, how are transportation improvements funded in the MTP?
So transportation improvements are funded in the Metropolitan Transportation Plan by looking at the available federal dollars that are coming to us over the next 25 years. We also allocate state funding as well through this plan. And again, the goal is to take a financial forecast of those funds over the next 25 years and apply them to a list of needed projects that is identified through data analysis, input from you all, and of course, input from our MPO board members as well, who represent the elected officials in Broward County.
Okay, thank you, Peter. And our next question comes to us from George in Bavie. George, go ahead with your question.
Hi, guys. Good evening. My question is for Chris Walton. I wanted to know how transit services will be considered as part of the plan.
Well, you know, the responsibility of the MPO is to develop the long-range transportation plan. The transit providers in the region are responsible for what we call the transit development plan, which is a 10-year plan that must dovetail directly into the 2045 plan. So what we do as a transit provider, we develop, again, the 10-year plan that projects the operating capital revenue that we will need to operate and build the capital for the system for the next 10 years. And again, we look for that to be the first 10 years of the 2045 plan.
And to piggyback on that, Chris, Peter here from the Broward Metropolitan Planning Organization. BCT, or Broward County Transit, offers up the operating dollars for the system, which is something that we as a Broward Metropolitan Planning Organization, we can only spend capital funds. So we support Broward County Transit by offering capital projects to build upon their system and help expand their system as well.
Okay. Thank you for that question, George. Our next question comes to us from Terry in Davie. And Terry would like to know, when will the projects in the MTP happen?
So when we talk about the Metropolitan Transportation Plan, we're always talking about projects now, as early as 5 years from now and into the future, 2045. Since we're allocating dollars throughout the life of this plan, again, projects can happen within 5 to 6 years, but are programmed on a yearly basis all the way out through 2045. Much like when you do budgeting at home, you look at what money you have available now and what you can spend in your household at the moment and what you would like to spend in the future. And that's exactly what this plan does. It is our investment plan and our roadmap for the future.
Okay, thank you, Peter. For those of you just joining us this evening, I'd like to remind you, if you'd like to ask a question, please press 0 on your telephone keypad and we'll get you into the queue to ask the panelist your question as soon as possible. Okay, our next question comes to us from Rick in Fort Lauderdale. Rick, go ahead with your question. Rick, do you have a question for the panel?
Yeah, I just moved here from Louisiana, and I'm amazed at the high volume traffic flow. 24/7, I-95 all through here. And I've been reading about your Metropolitan Transportation Plan, and it all sounds real good. But when are we going to see some results?
Thank you, Rick, for that question. And that's certainly the question I'm sure on everyone's mind is when are projects going to get built? And as I mentioned before, these projects are programmed as early as 5 years out. Because we're trying to plan a massive transportation system here in Broward County, we have to put some thought into it and some planning as well. But the dollars are available in 5 years. So high priority projects that are programmed early on in the plan, which is still under development, will be programmed for design and construction in as little as 5 years.
Okay, thank you for that question, Rick. Erica now has a few words for the group.
So as you've been listening, we've been talking about the Metropolitan Transportation Plan, and I'd just like to provide you with a few options of how you can get involved. The first would be if you could visit our website, which is commitment2045.org. We currently have a survey available, and we're looking for feedback. We're looking for your thoughts, your opinions, and if you can visit that website, we would greatly appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Erica. Okay. Our next question comes to us from Melissa in Miramar, and Melissa would like to know the next question comes to us from Anthony. Anthony would like to know, is there any conversation internally or with legislators about putting a regional transportation measure on the ballot to allow multiple counties, i.e. Miami, Broward, Palm Beach, Collier, to team up on a ballot measure that would be used for regional transportation and transit projects?
Anthony, that's a really good question, and that has been talked about for a number of years. Unfortunately, I have to tell you that the direct answer to your question is no. Conceptually, it does make a lot of sense for to have a regional tax to support regional projects. But what I will tell you is that there are discussions ongoing at this point for a regional plan for what we call the Tri-Rail Coastal Link, which is a rail line that would operate on the CSX along the entire corridor in South Florida. The plan is looking for funding for operations and capital, and discussions are ongoing amongst all three counties. But at this point, we don't have a solid plan yet, but at least the discussion is ongoing and the thought is out there. And I do believe at some point that plan will come to be, it will be realized. Ultimately, I think we're headed in the right direction, and your question points us into the right direction that there should be and will be at some point, I believe, a regional tax to support regional transportation projects. But as of right now, that discussion is not taking place.
Thank you very much, Chris. Okay, now we're going to move to our first polling question this evening. Erica?
So our first question of the evening is, what area in Broward County do you live in? So if you live east of 95, we'd invite you to press 1. On your keypad. If you live between I-95 and University Drive, press 2. If you live west of University Drive, press 3. And if you don't live in Broward County, please press 4.
Okay, thank you, Erica. And our next question comes to us this evening from Gerald. And let's see, Gerald is joining us. Gerald, go ahead with your question.
I was wondering about this out of control growth, it seems like, in, you know, Fort Lauderdale, Dania, Hollywood. They all seem to be competing with other for growth. And this is hindering our traffic, transportation major. I was wondering if there's any answers for this.
Sure.
Would you like to field that question?
It's an excellent comment, and in my days as a commissioner, it's a comment that we often explored with the idea of trying to understand how to build a transportation system that is well-balanced and that meets the needs of Florida's visiting population as well as the residents and the folks who work here. The short answer, I think, is it's always a challenge for a state like the state of Florida. The weather, and the real value that people see in the state of Florida as a whole essentially means that our transportation system will always be challenged by a population growth trend that is probably unlikely to dissipate to any substantial degree over time. So part of our planning has to really include the prospects that while we do expect an upward trend in population growth, it becomes even more important for us to look at how our systems are running and to be in a position where we can actually accomplish the aims of the plan, which again is to move people, to secure jobs, and to get folks in a position where they can enjoy the benefits of being here. And so I don't think we're going to see any real decrease in growth, but I can also say that cities as well as the county are always looking at how to better accommodate population growth within their respective jurisdictions. But certainly on the transportation side, I think this plan that we are talking about today is equally important because it does give some breath to the needs of this this part of the state of Florida, which has a whole lot to do with how we manage population, but also how we manage the transportation systems as a whole. And so, again, I encourage you to look deeply into the plan, as well as to see what our current plans are, to see what we're doing today and what's on the table for the next few years to see how well they synchronize. But it's a function that we will always be busy with, and some of us call it it's a nice problem to have when your state is constantly looking at the rate of visitors that we have as well as the people who are actually coming here to live and work.
And Gerald, as well, one of the things to keep in mind is a key component of a transportation system is to provide transportation options. So we want to make sure that we can provide as many options as possible through the Metropolitan Transportation Plan to expand people's ability to get around, not just in a vehicle, but also transit, by walking and cycling, by rail. There's lots of options out there, and that helps to balance the transportation system and move people around.
Okay, thank you, Sydney, and thank you, Peter. And Gerald, thank you very much for that question. All right, I'd like to share the results of our first polling question again. What area in Broward County do you live in? 25% of our audience said they live east of I-95. 42% of our audience said they live between I-95 and University Drive. 31% of our audience said they live west of University Drive. And 2% of our audience said they don't live in Broward County. Okay, our next question, we're going to get to Melissa's question from Miramar, and this question's for Sydney. How does the MTP impact businesses in Broward County?
Well, as we just talked about, we've got an increasing trend with steady population growth, and Chris just mentioned that a strong part of this plan has to include how well we can manage our transportation system. Manage it meaning how well are we dealing with congestion and what are the opportunities for ensuring that, again, we are working on in that particular area. The other piece, though, that, again, has already been mentioned, though, is that providing businesses with strong incentives to get here, and part of that includes the ability for their families and for employees to be able to get to where they need to work as well as to get home. And so a balanced system that has all of those things, including public transit, that has high-quality transportation options, are major attractions for businesses who are looking to come to this part of the area with jobs and employees. But the quality of life issue is one of those things that they look at, and transportation is a key barometer for employees and residents when we talk about what is the quality of life here? So the plan, as well as we can conceive it, but also the extent to which we can execute on it, is going to be a strong signal for business growth and strong economic development here throughout the South Florida, not just in Broward, but throughout the region.
I think just following up on Sidney's point, he hit it right on the head in terms of talking about how quality of life is impacted by the ability to move goods and services. At BCT, or Broward County Transit, 60% of our trips are work trips, people going to work. So that is directly impacting the economic vitality of the county. Another 10% of our trips are students going to school. So those are two critical elements in our county that are served by BCT. Now, I would be less than honest with you if I were to say that I was satisfied with the level and the quality of services that we currently provide as a county, because I'm not. At this point, our county does the best that we can with the resources that we have, but our system is drastically underfunded. We're very hopeful, and there's a lot of discussion at the county commission level about the possibility of a one-cent sales tax going on the ballot this fall to support transportation, which would actually build the robust, balanced system that the city has referred to. It would make a significant change in terms of the volume or the number of buses that we have in our service. It would actually introduce light rail into our community. It would strengthen our paratransit services. It would increase the technology that's available on our buses and in our system. It actually makes substantial improvements in traffic signalization and a lot of the transportation amenities that are associated with road improvements. So if we're fortunate enough to have that be successful, I think that, you know, we can catch up, because we're behind the curve. I mean, we look at other regions around the country and what they're doing, and quite frankly, when you look at some of the preeminent systems in the United States, such as Denver and Portland, they did these things that we're trying to do 20, 30 years ago. So we need to catch up. People will continue to come here, and our streets will continue to be more congested. So we have got to take action now to do something to make sure that as we look to the future, that the MTP as well as the plans at BTC are fully implemented.
Let me just, again, I think, the dovetail into this, from my perspective, to put it simply, a plan with, we can have the best plan, and we count on the MPO to do what we're doing right now, which is to talk to the community, talk to the policymakers about what we should be doing relative to providing a balanced transportation system. As we all know in our own households, the bottom line, though, is if you need a plan, but you also need to have a means of funding that plan. And the extent to which you have available resources to do that, you can actually execute a beautiful plan. Our problem here in Broward, and to some extent in South Florida, is that, yeah, we do need to have funding capacity that will not only drive what's good for Broward, but also what's good for the region. And frankly, again, based on the question about economics and economic development, I think we all know now that as we think about economic development and prosperity here for Broward County, we're in a global economy. We're in a regional and urban metropolitan area that includes Palm Beach and Miami-Dade County. And our ability to really prosper economically, even as a county, depends on how well we can coordinate and work with our neighbors to the north and south. And frankly, again, we haven't even talked about two other counties north of Palm Beach, which really is that part of the area that's feeding into the growth of South Florida overall. And so we do need the funding, and I absolutely agree with Chris's point on that, and regional funding at its best, again, allows us to leverage the sources of funding that we have today.
Funding and partnerships
with the private sector, with our public partners, and most of all with the public who we're engaging now is extremely important in order to make that plan successful.
Absolutely. Your business community, if they're talking about whether or not they want to relocate or they want to locate in here in Broward or in South Florida, they're going to need the infrastructure. They're going to need to see that you have a system that is in place, you have a system that can accommodate economic growth, or and if you don't, what happens is people look elsewhere. And so our ability to compete in a global economy requires that we have a Class A transportation system that has a Class A economic basis for being able to support that system overall. And that means, again, regional dollars concentrated within the region to leverage regional transportation systems.
Thank you, Sydney, Peter, and Chris. And thanks for that question, Melissa. We're going to move to our next question, and that's from Diane and Davey. Diane, go ahead with your question.
Hello? Hi, this is Peter, and I'd like to know what the plans are to use private solutions as opposed to government solutions that are competitive so that the taxpayer doesn't carry the burden of the solution.
Peter, thank you for that question. I think one of the things that we're exploring here at the Broward Metropolitan Planning Organization, along with our partners, is the ability to work on public-private partnerships where we can invest some public money in order to leverage private dollars. And I think that also is exactly what Sydney was just talking about. A great example of a public-private partnership was the construction of 595, where the private sector came in and provided the funds, and we are now paying those funds back, but it allowed allowed that facility to get built in a very timely manner, very efficiently as well, and we're reaping the benefits of it now. And there's so many more opportunities all throughout Broward County to look into public-private investments where there is public land where we can leverage private dollars to build transit facilities or park-and-ride facilities and things like that. It is a matter of making sure that the environment is ripe enough where we can encourage the private sector to come to the table and make sure that they can make those investments as well.
Yeah. And on that subject, let me just underscore one central concept, and that is a public-private partnership, particularly in terms of those kinds of partnerships that really can do well for a transportation system here, requires not just a good plan, but one of the things that we accomplished while I was on the commission is that we did well to ensure that there is legislation, statutory law, that protects and promotes the public interest in terms of moving those relationships. And so the environment has to be there, but there's certainly the capacity that we have from the legislative standpoint. But if we're going to do this, then, it seems to me, again, that the private environment has to be there, and you're going to mean essentially having both your public entities at work and working hand-in-hand with the private sector to make it a benefit for everyone to do those kind of developments.
And I'd also add to that, when we consider major capital projects, such as potential rail lines, we take a look at what's been done across the country. And, again, looking at some of our more successful transit systems, Denver, they have the largest P3 project in transit in the United States. And that serves as a model. So it's something that we certainly have looked at and would consider going forward. But keeping in mind that the private sector wants to be paid as well. People tend to think in many cases that public-private partnerships means that the private partner will take all of the risk. They'll take some of the risk. But you've got to have skin in the game. For us to have that skin in the game, to be able to leverage federal dollars to come to our region, we've got to be able to show that we have the capacity, the financial capacity, to operate those systems. currently has restructured and funded in Broward County, we're not there yet. That's why it's absolutely critical that we develop some sort of dedicated revenue funding stream so that we can actually get into the game, the federal game, to leverage those dollars coming into South Florida.
Yeah. Let me just address the caller's comment too. A perfect example of a private solution, as many of you know, is the All Aboard rail system. Total private investment, and I certainly think that is a great example of what a private investor has been able to put together, looking at some infrastructure that was in place, but also developing a rail component that will be useful for business and visitors as well as residents here. And so, again, we need to promote the environment where there are solutions that may be purely private. And I venture to say that that's not the only option around, but there are certainly other areas where the private sector can be extremely competitive in terms of developments that are meant to provide travel and transportation solutions for an overall balanced system.
Okay. Thank you, Sydney and Chris. Okay, we're going to go to our next polling question. Erica?
Okay, so our next question is, what is the biggest transportation problem in Broward? So if you believe it to be lack of transportation options, press 1. Traffic congestion, press 2. Unsafe conditions, press 3. Or lack of roadway maintenance, press 4. And again, that question was, what is the biggest transportation problem in Broward?
Okay, thank you, Erica. We're going to go to our next question, and that comes to us from George in Pompano Beach. George, go ahead with your question. George, do you have a question for the panel?
Oh, yes, I do. My question is that I live in Pompano, and Pompano is going through a tremendous resurgence, all kinds of building shopping centers, high-rises, hotels, and the roads are jammed as it is. And it could take sometimes from 10 minutes to a half an hour to go from A1A to Federal Highway. What is going to be done about this infrastructure on the roads? Because all this stuff is going to be built up within the next 2 years. And it's all year. It's not just seasonal. So I'd like.
But go ahead if you could respond to that question.
Sure. Thank you, George, for that question. And Pompano is certainly a great example of how South Florida is really transforming here in the region and Broward County in particular. With respect to your question of what's being done along our major corridors such as Federal Highway or Oakland Park Boulevard and Commercial University, I mean, just to name a few, is we are looking at the transportation system as a whole. And you can't just look at one link of the transportation system and try to fix that one link, because that one link has impacts on all the other roadways. So we try to model what the transportation is going to be like currently and also into the future, and try to see where the demand is going to go, to see how traffic flows and to see where people want to go, origins and destinations, for example, to help develop a robust transportation model that can really be our crystal ball into the future. Now, it's not always perfect, but again, the investments that we identify as part of the plan are based on this robust data and analysis, along with input from our partners and the public like you. And ideally, we want to try and make investments where we get the biggest bang for the buck. So when we see an issue or congestion issue at an intersection or along a particular roadway, we want to make sure that we're making the right investments there as well, in addition to providing those transportation options that we discussed, those alternate modes, bus and rail, and also make it easier for people to walk and bike as well.
Peter, let me just add in a bit on this. And one of the things that we constantly face as we are talking about planning for the future and actually dealing with our transportation system now is this balanced or unbalanced system as we have it, where we're just really, in fact, over-reliant on the use of cars in an area that our system is, we're an urban community now. more so than we ever have been, and that is unlikely to change. In fact, it's going to become more urbanized as our population trends continue. So one of the things, again, that I think is important as planners, but also would be an area where the community can be of tremendous value in this planning process, is to understand that the population growth that we're experiencing in Florida now is not the same kind of population growth that we've had historically. A lot of the population growth that we're getting now are from the demographics are younger folks who are coming down. We're starting to see, again, a younger population that is moving to the state of Florida and who have different needs and who have different experiences. And so when we talk about a balanced transportation system, one that where we're providing quality transit or other quality transportation options, we are, again, we need the input from the community. Many of those folks, again, who come with an idea that they don't necessarily need a car, and they just need a quality option. And so part of the work here of the MPO, as well as this process where we're talking to the community and getting that input, is to really to be able to leverage that conversation that allows us to understand better how to really give a system option that folks are really wanting. And I'm simply saying that the population is very different from what it used to be, and that means that their ability to adapt or what their desire is for the transportation option on the table can be dramatically different from what we might otherwise expect.
Yeah, I agree, Sydney. I think with that demographic shift, I think what South Florida has to realize and understand that there needs to be a paradigm shift. When you look at the percentage of people who use transit in our region compared to the people or the percentage of people who use transit in other regions, we're at about 2%. We need to get that up to 7, 8, 9, 10%. And the population move that's coming into South Florida now are younger, and they're coming from metropolitan areas that have better transportation systems, and the expectation they have when they get here is that we would have and should have the same thing. We're not there yet. And I hate to keep going back to, you know, my same point here, but until we are funded properly, until we can actually, if we're going to talk about Pompano, you know, we recognize, particularly on Federal Highway, the congestion, and Federal Highway is our third most traveled route in our BCT system. We put buses out. We put as many buses out as we can afford to. When you consider the rest of the system, and we would like to put more, but the dollars right now just aren't there to satisfy the need. Not only in Pompano, but on 441, on Oakland Park, and a number of other major corridors. So, yes, the South Florida is changing. We, again, are a little bit behind the curve, but we do have, I think, a great opportunity if our commission puts the sales tax on the ballot, and if it's successful, I think we have a great opportunity to catch up and build a truly robust system that will satisfy the needs of the county, not only today, but going forward.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I'd like to share the results of our second polling question with the group. And again, the question was, what is the biggest transportation problem in Broward County? 36% of the audience said it was a lack of transportation options. 54% of the audience said it was traffic congestion. 7% of the audience said it was unsafe conditions. And 4% of the audience said it was a lack of roadway maintenance. Okay, we're going to go to our next question, and it's from Naomi in Deerfield. Naomi, go ahead with your question. Naomi, do you have a question for the panel?
I try to take care of my teeth, but there's acid in what I eat and drink every day.
Okay, we're going to go on to our next question, and our next question is from Lewis, and Lewis, go ahead with your question. Lewis, do you have a question for the panel?
Yes. in commuting from Miami-Dade to Broward, there are several areas in Broward that are very congested at many times. My question would be, what kind or what factors are considered when MPO makes the prioritization of the construction projects? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that question, Lewis.
And thank you, Lewis, for that question. Yeah, that, I think that's an excellent point and a good segue into how we actually develop the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. I mentioned earlier that we take a look at the system on a model perspective and try to see where the traffic flows are going based on current loads on the system, but also what may happen in the future as well. Part of the criteria that we try to look at is, you know, where, again, the best bang for the buck, you know, where is it that we have those really high high volume, high traffic volume areas and those high congestion areas, and we try to focus our dollars on those particular improvements. But it's really trying to make sure that we're providing a balanced transportation system where we can support those additional transportation options in those areas. We definitely want to look at what each individual community as well is thinking about how transportation will operate in Broward. So we take in input from all of our partner agencies and municipalities, and we try to balance that again with the data that we receive as input into the plan.
Okay, thank you for that question again, Lewis, and thanks for that response, Peter. Our next question is from Edward in Hollywood, and Edward would like to know, will the MTP include new bicycle lanes?
Edward, I keep hitting on these transportation options, but certainly bicycle lanes and sidewalks are a key component to helping support a transit system, because at one point in everybody's trip, you are a pedestrian and you need to be able to get around, even if you are driving a car. So we definitely want to make sure that we're prioritizing investments in bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure. We also want to try and make sure that we're providing safer options and safer opportunities for folks who are walking and riding their bicycles. Here in South Florida, we happen to be among the highest regions for bicycle and pedestrian fatalities and injuries, and we want to start trying to make a dent in that. We've already started doing that as part of our previous investment from our last Metropolitan Transportation Plan. We have programmed about $300 million in bicycle and pedestrian investments throughout Broward. And again, this is done in conjunction with all of our other transportation investments to make sure that we are providing as many options as possible. But certainly, safety and transportation options are high on the list, and bicycle lanes and sidewalk improvements are among those.
Okay, thank you very much, Peter. Okay, we're going to go to our next question, and that comes to us from Deborah in Lauderdale by the Sea. Deborah, go ahead with your question.
Actually, this is Dick and not Deborah. First of
Hi,
all,
Dick,
thank
I'm
you
sorry
all for
that.
That's okay. Thank you all for serving on the MPO, and also thank you for the opportunity for citizen input. I have the advantage of having been in leadership in the county since 1985, moving here in 74 before the Sawgrass and before 595, so I've seen this develop. But one of the things that we're finding is there's going to be a much faster change in demographics than people expect. I think Sydney was reading my mind before when he talked about the next generation after the millennials probably aren't even going to want cars. They probably won't even have a driver's license. So one of the questions I have is, how can you reconcile the speed of change of the demographics, particularly when the millennials are going to favor urban areas versus what we've had people moving west because they couldn't afford to live east and the jobs were east, which caused our traffic congestions. But the next generation, as Sydney said before and several of you said, is that the next generation may not be depending as much on cars as the current generation, and even the fact of using Uber instead of driving your car someplace. So as an MPO, how are you reconciling the speed of change in the demographics moving forward, considering.
Okay, thank you very much for that question, Dick.
Dick, I think I'm going to jump right into it and say that one of the things that we need to do a better job at, and we're certainly looking at as part of this Metropolitan Transportation Plan, is looking into the future and what are the demands and wants and needs of our population. One of the ways that we're doing that as part of this plan is we're looking into scenario planning, where we're trying to make assumptions about the future based on current data to say what would happen if. So what would happen if our development focused more along our major corridors? What happens if we have a massive change towards autonomous vehicle and connected vehicle infrastructure to more Uber usage and Lyft usage, you know, those transportation network companies that we talk about? The scenario planning is a great way to try and figure out what the future may look like. Again, we use current data to try and make assumptions about those scenarios, but that will ultimately inform the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. A note, though, on the future about folks moving away from motor vehicles, there is this dawn of autonomous vehicles and connected vehicles that we're going to have to grapple with, really. And it's an area that is a huge unknown at the moment. Companies throughout the United States, car companies, are making these investments in autonomous vehicles, and they're the ones really driving the change at the moment. And we as the public sector are going to be responsible for reacting to that change. And that is going to be one of the biggest things that we tackle in the future, especially as folks, as you said, the change in demographics, if folks want to change more to those autonomous vehicles or even autonomous buses, and that type of technology, we're really going to have to make sure that we address that. But I open it up to Chris and Sydney to weigh in as well on this matter.
You know, I read a study out of the AJC, which is the MPO out of Atlanta, indicating that a 7-year-old today may never drive a car. So for those of us who are transit operators, it really gives us reason to pause and think about how we should plan our transportation systems. I looked at an article earlier today that said that 36 of the top 40 systems in the country have actually lost ridership in the last year as a result of a number of things. I mean, historically in transit, when employment is up and gas prices are down, transit ridership goes down. But there definitely has been an impact with TNCs and, you know, other telecommuting, the transit ridership is changing. How do we handle that going forward? I think the transit system of the future, again, working in conjunction with the MPO plans, personal belief is there will always be a need for high-capacity transit on major corridors like we have in Broward County, 441 Oakland Park. I think there will always be the need to move large numbers of people through those corridors where there's housing and where people work and go to school. However, and again, as this area becomes more dense, that area becomes larger. But there will always be that fringe. And what I'm saying is all of these things have to work together. Public transit in its current form will have to change. We will have to be more adaptive to the use of autonomous vehicles because it's coming. Again, we don't know what form it's going to take. The Ubers and the Lyfts, I don't know that, you know, everybody can afford an Uber or Lyft every day. But the future, I believe, in transit is a combination of all of those elements.
Let me just, I'm recalling a conversation that I had with former transportation, DOT, Secretary of Transportation, Jose Abreu. And the state had started to remove its personnel from the various toll booths across the state. And there were some consternation about how quickly to move to full electronic tolling. And one of our conversations, we were sort of, again, mulling over it, but the point I said to him is, Jose, I'm putting this on the table now, sometimes a phrase like Nike uses for its motto, just do it. And so that was my response to him when he asked me about, Commissioner, I'm ready to do this, but I'm not sure about the timing. My response is, we've got to just do it. And as I think back, we probably weighed in with that issue probably, you know, several years longer than we actually needed to. And so if we talk about urgency and we talk about long-range planning here, one of the other things, again, that I think is important, and I think the caller touched on it a bit, but we've got to bring our transportation planning together with our urban land use planning. And by doing that, we can visualize what our community is going to look like. And again, one of the things that we also talked about is looking at our horizon, not based on a 25-year horizon, but let's look at it on a 50-year horizon and urbanize area and see where we're going. But I think, again, long-term planning and bringing together land use and transportation planning together would be a wonderful resource for us to leverage.
That's such a key connection.
Thank you, gentlemen. Now we're going to go to Erica, and she'd like to remind everybody where they can continue to follow our discussion.
Absolutely. So if you'd like to learn more, as we've been talking about our Metropolitan Transportation Plan, you can visit our website, which is commitment2045.org. We have a video that's called What's in It for Me, if you'd like to learn a bit about the MPO as well as the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. You can connect with us on social media. We have a Twitter. If you want to reach us, we're at @speakup_Broward. We also have a Facebook page. You can find us at @speakupBroward, all one word, no spaces. And last but not least, of course, we have BrowardMPO.org. We also, on our commitment2045.org, have a survey, and that survey is currently open and available. We're looking for public feedback. We're looking for comments because, as we've said tonight, the public input that we provide to this plan is absolutely key.
Okay, thank you, Erica. And we're going to go to our next question from Beverly in Coral Springs. Beverly, go ahead with your question. Beverly, do you have a question for the panel? Okay, then we're going to go to our next question from Jessica via Facebook. She's in Fort Lauderdale. And Jessica says, for most people, 2045 seems far into the future, but we all in Broward deal with traffic flow issues and a lack of a robust transportation system today. How do you get people to care about people making their voices heard now for a payoff they feel may be too far for an individual to be involved today?
Thank you, Jessica, for that question. The what's in it for you right now requires us to think about the future, because any good plan has to think enough into the future to make improvements for today, because every improvement that we make today modifies a transportation system for the future. So by getting involved now and talking about the transportation needs and wants that we are going to ultimately require here in Broward County require your input, and they require us to think into the future. So I again would stress that our Metropolitan Transportation Plan will have projects that come out of it in as early as 5 years. But then also we'll allocate funding for projects every year after that. But once again, it's about creating a coordinated and connected transportation system that has a thoughtful approach to it. So by making sure that we think about the investments that we're making now and into the future, we can create the best transportation system that we need.
Okay, thank you, Peter. We're going to go now to our next question. Our next question is from Rosalie in Tamarack. Rosalie, go ahead with your question.
Sorry, my voice is really deep right now. It's
wrong. No, I appreciate that. I'm sorry, sir.
Oh, my God. All right. All right. Now I'm going to freeze. How many people am I talking to? The next question, and it can apply right now. When I first moved down here in 88, you know, I didn't realize how many people were here. And now it's 2018. that's 30 years. This place is bigger than a lot of major cities in the state that states have, like, say, New Orleans. We have more people in three counties here, Palm Beach, Broward, and Metro Miami-Dade. I think it's like 6 million people, and that's not counting all the visitors. And the transportation problem I had once, it's got to go to 24 hours. It's got to. I mean, you're covering north and south, but not east and west.
Okay, thank you very much for that comment. So what do you gentlemen think? Is the transit system going to include 24-hour service?
At some point. And again, it's the same refrain. When adequate funding is available, we will go to a 24-hour system. But right now, the operating revenues just aren't there to do it.
And the Metropolitan Transportation Plan can provide capital investments to help support a system that can go to 24 hours. But I think, as Chris said, you know, it is really about those operating dollars. We need to think about how we are going to pay for this system. And your input into the Metropolitan Transportation Plan can help drive some of that conversation and also will ultimately trickle upwards to the policymakers who make those decisions. So we need to make sure that your voices are heard if that's something that the region wants, and I would argue that the region needs in order to provide a balanced transportation system.
If I could just throw a couple of numbers at you. About 15, 18 years ago, Miami-Dade voted themselves to have sales tax for transit. When we look at the dollars per capita that goes into transit from Miami-Dade versus Broward, Miami actually contributes about 2.5 times the dollars per person than we do. Miami-Dade currently contributes, these are 2016 numbers, $212 per capita toward operating. Broward's at 68. So I think that pretty much tells you a lot that you need to know in terms of the need to grow the system in Broward. Until that revenue stream is, from an operating perspective, is increased, we're going to continue to struggle. We're behind the eight ball, and you know, we're doing our best to do what we can with what we have, but it's a struggle.
Chris, let me just plug in where you're at on this. You mentioned Miami-Dade County and their surtax. We know Palm Beach County has some dedicated revenues as well. So if we talk about, again, the region, regional partnerships, there's some level of equity that you need to have in that partnership relationship in order for it to work. And so what I hear you saying is without a dedicated funding source here in Broward County, it's an inhibiting factor for regional growth and regional partnerships because everyone has to be bringing something to the table to make it work. And Broward, again, is lagging behind relative to our regional partners. And so I absolutely concur with you, and I think we do need to think seriously about how to address that.
Okay, thank you, Chris and Sydney. Erica, could you ask our third polling question for this evening?
Absolutely. So as we come to the close of our hour, the last polling question we have is, before this town hall meeting, were you familiar with the Broward MPO and its role in transportation? If yes, press 1, and if no, press 2. So again, that question, before this e-town hall meeting, were you familiar with the Broward MPO and its role in transportation?
And Erica, could you remind people about the website?
Absolutely. So we have commitment2045.org. We have a survey available for you to provide us with your very sought-after feedback. Also, we have a video called What's in It for Me? Learn about the Broward MPO. Also learn about our Metropolitan Transportation Plan that we've been discussing. You could also follow us through our Twitter, which is @speakup_Broward. Facebook, you can find us at @SpeakUpBroward, all one word. And last but not least, you can visit BrowardMPO.org to learn about the organization as a whole and many of the other programs, plans, and things that we offer.
Okay, thank you very much, Erica. And I'd like to thank our panelists this evening. I'd like to thank Chris, Peter, and Sydney for joining us, and I'd like to thank all of you for participating in this e-town hall. Thank you for your questions. We've run out of time for this evening, but again, if you have any additional questions, you can go to our website, commitment2045.org. Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.